The message you're about to listen to is brought to you by Pastor Henry Onyedikachi.
If we don't preach the gospel, we cannot expel darkness from the hearts of men. Woe is me if I preach not the gospel. I have a commitment. Necessity is laid on me. I have an assignment to preach the gospel.
Stay blessed.
Hallelujah. So last night we stopped at Revelation 4 and verse 11. So, I think I'll need a board this time. Yeah, get a board. Amen. Revelation 4 and verse 11. Glory to God. He created all things for his pleasure. We're looking at that yesterday. So, we were, you know, the point is, if you're looking for the reason God created you, it's not far. As you look at the written word, you can clearly see why you were made. And I'll show you yesterday that first God made man so that the man could be saved. And then God made man so that the man could serve him. God made man because he wanted the man to come into his image. And God made man because he wanted a man to serve him. And I said, and I'm still saying, that your life begins to count when you begin to serve Jesus. Life begins to count for something when you live that life for ministry. So ministry is not a thing for pastors or for apostles or for prophets or for people in the fivefold ministry. It is the assignment of every believer to serve Jesus in different capacities. And it's so important that I look at it. He said, thou art worthy, O Lord, to receive glory, honor, and power, for thou hast created all things and for thy pleasure. So everything was made for his pleasure. So the reason he made you to bring pleasure to his name. And one major way you do that, and the major way is by serving him, by doing ministry. Are you still here? There are many things I'm going to say in this conference that I've taught many times. The Lord said, go over some basics throughout this meeting. So some of you might hear something you've heard again and again. But it's okay, it's the plan. Amen. So you're ready to serve. Basically, you are saved to serve. The reason God saved you is so that you can serve. So Paul tells us in 2 Timothy 1 verse 9, how that, you know, God saved him, if you use New Living Translation, because that was God's plan from before the beginning of time. Made it very clear. But then by the time we get to verse 11, he began to say, he appointed me to be a preacher and an apostle and all of that. So not only did Paul receive salvation, Paul also received a ministry. You cannot claim to have received of the ministry of reconciliation and yet deny that you received the ministry. Do you get what I said now? When you receive of that ministry, that's what brings salvation to you. Now, you didn't just receive reconciliation. You also receive the ministry of reconciliation. So not only does God reconcile us to himself, he gives us an assignment too. And that's what you have to realize and not forget. You are saved to serve. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 14, the Bible tells us that he died for all. But then, verse 14 says, the love of Christ constrained us, for we thus judge that if one died, then we are all dead. Then in verse 15, he said he died for all, that they which live should no longer live for themselves, but for him who died for them. So the reason he died for you is so that you can live for him. Are you got what I'm talking about? He died for you so you can now live your life for him. He took your place in death so that you can become the extension of his life on earth. He took your place in death so you can become the extension of his life and his assignment here on earth. And it's very important that you understand that. And it's that I refer us back to Genesis chapter 2. Chapter 1 and chapter 2 and all of that. Now, Genesis 2:15 talks about something that I addressed at Razor Facts, but let me mention it again. In Genesis 2 and verse 15, the Lord God gave man an assignment. The Lord God took the man and put him into the garden. And look at this. The first assignment God gave man after creation, what is that?
To dress it and to keep it.
Now I'm going to come to those two words. Before I get there, at least you are seeing that God did not just bring man into the garden to enjoy. Because the idea of the Garden of Eden, many of us have, is enjoy. So people say things like, if not Adam fell, oh, just been in the garden enjoying. Well, that is enjoyment, because in that garden everything was there. But even before the fall, God already gave man an assignment. So the idea of God giving man assignment did not come because man fell. Is someone following me this morning? So he gave him to dress it. I need a boy. I need a marker. Do you guys have? Yes, make it available quickly. So he gave him an assignment to dress and to keep the garden. The word dress is translated from the Hebrew word abad. That is A-B-A-D. Get ready to learn God's word this morning. Okay, night sessions are always very exciting, but in morning I have some time to teach. Amen. Abad. A-B-A-D. Now, the thing is this. For many people that look at this very verse, what comes to their mind is that God made man a farmer. Right? God gave him said, rest and keep the garden. But by the time we begin to study, you will realize that it's not about farming actually. He gave him to dress and keep. So that word is abad. That's the word dress. So he gave him to dress. The Hebrew word is abad. And the other word, which is to keep, is the word shama. We're going to look at these two words very quickly. And maybe you are here, I wonder why are they using talking about Hebrew words? It is because the Old Testament of the Bible was originally written in Hebrew language. Then it was translated to other languages before it even got into English language. Right? And the English language is actually a very young language. You know, right? It's a young language. These languages are quite older than it. So, in translating from one language to another, sometimes you might miss the whole essence of the word. But then you refer back to that particular original language to get the true meaning. So, the word English is dress and keep. But the Hebrew says abad. The word abad actually in the Hebrew means to serve. It actually means to serve and to worship. When I looked up that word in the original Hebrew, I found out it has nothing to do with agriculture. And I'm going to show you other places where that word abad was also used in the Bible. So that you can check to see whether it is about agriculture. So God did not actually practically make man a farmer. A lot of people say this, like farming was the first job God gave man. Please be careful. I get what I'm saying? So, the word is, it means to serve. It means to worship. I show you some scriptures. I need the screen to work very well now. In Genesis 15 and verse 13, we're going to look at that word abad. It was used again and again. Genesis 15 and verse 13. And said unto Abraham, okay, and he said unto Abraham, know of a surety that thy seed shall be a stranger in a land that is not theirs and shall serve them. That's abad. They shall serve them. Give me another verse 14. Verse 14, that's the next verse. He said, and also that nation whom they shall serve will I judge. So the word serve there is abad. So when he says they shall serve another nation, he wasn't referring to farming, is it? That's what abad. If you have your Hebrew concordance, I believe some of you should have it, you can check that out. Amen. In Exodus 3 and verse 12, you see where this thing God told Abraham was now manifesting. Exodus 3 and verse 12. Said, and he said, certainly I'll be with thee, and this shall be a token unto thee that I have sent thee. When thou hast brought forth the children of Israel out of Egypt, you shall serve God abad. You shall serve God upon this mountain abad. So you see, places where that word was used again and again. The principle I'm teaching you in Bible study is called the principle of corroborative evidence. Have I taught this before? Can I get my teaching on Bible interpretation made easy? Yeah. I explain all this. Or you can get the teaching on how to study the Bible. Is that how to study the Bible? Huh? Lessons in Bible study, yes. So, what we are doing is we are actually looking at other places where this word came up. So, if we see how the same author used that word in different places, we can have an idea of what he was saying in the first place he used it. So, he said, they shall serve God. That word abad. they shall serve God upon this mount. They shall serve God. In Exodus chapter 4 and verse 23, this is still Moses writing. Exodus 4 verse 23, see that word come up again and again. He said, and I said unto thee, let my son go that he may serve me. That's the word about. It's not about agriculture yet. Are you following me, friends? Chapter 7 verse 16, again and again, it comes up, 7 verse 16, read together. And thou shalt say unto him, the Lord God of the Hebrews has sent me unto thee, saying, let my people go that they may serve me in the wilderness. Serve, abad. Again and again, Exodus 23 verse 24, you find that word come up again and again. Okay? He said, thou shalt not bow down to their gods, nor serve them. Abad. Now, let's move away from Moses a little. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28 and verse 9, you find that same word abad. I'm trying to show you when that word abad is used, it is used to refer to serve. He said, and thou, Solomon, my son, know thou the God of thy father, and serve him with a perfect heart. Right? Now, that is the same word Moses used in Genesis 2:15. Where he said, the Lord God told man to dress, to abad, that is to serve, to worship. Are you following me this morning? So it wasn't primarily about, I want you to begin to till the earth or dress, whatever. I wonder why they now use dress in that particular place. Well, there's a reason. Because you know that Moses was speaking, you know, that it was in, there was a drama. Let me use the word drama. Right? Yes. But then there is a bigger meaning to what was happening in Genesis 1 and 2. If you are confused about this, I refer you to another teaching. Get my teaching in Genesis. On Genesis, I think part 1 to 5 or so. You get what I'm saying? Amen. So it's to dress the garden. That's to serve. So you see, the first time God gave man is to abad. That is to serve. Now, the next assignment is to dress and to keep. That's the word shama. Right? That word also is very interesting. That word means to observe, to guard, to attend to something. And I'll just show you three places that appeared. In Genesis 17 and verse 9, it means to observe, to attend to. So, abad is to serve and to worship. Shama is to observe, to attend to. And God said unto Abraham, thou shalt keep my covenant. That word keep is the word shama. Thou shalt keep, thou shalt attend to my covenant. I get the point? And I see that after the generation, to keep something, to attend to something. Give me verse 10. To attend to something. He said, this is my covenant which you shall keep between me and you. Keep. That's the word shama. That shall keep. It means to attend to keep something. Again and again, you find it in Genesis 26 and verse 5. Genesis 26 and verse 5. Glory to God. Are you still here? You just sang that you love the word of God, right? Because that Abraham obeyed my voice and kept my charge. Shama. And kept my charge. In Exodus chapter 12 and verse 17. Hallelujah. Exodus chapter 12 and verse 17. And you shall observe the feast of unleavened bread, the self same day that I brought you out of the land of Egypt. Say, you shall observe. That word observe is shama. It means to attend to observe. That shall observe. So I can go on and on to show you that those two words actually have nothing to do with agriculture, actually. So we are seeing two things. This means to serve or worship. This means to observe or attend to. So, what do you think God was telling Adam in Genesis 2 verse 15? He said, I'm keeping you in this garden that you may serve and worship me and attend to all the commandments I'm going to give unto you. So in the first instruction, the first assignment that man was given, you find ministry there. You find service there. You find God saying, I want you to worship me. I want you to serve me. I want you to follow the instructions that I'm going to give you. So I'm trying to show you ministry or serving God. It was not an afterthought. It's not something that became necessary because man fell. It's always been in God's plan that in one word, the other man was going to serve him. So you see what I was talking about, what I was talking about yesterday. People say, well, my purpose on earth is medicine. That's why God created me. Does it occur to you that before man fell, there was no need for medicine? So what it means is that if man did not fall, he wouldn't have had a purpose. No. God's plan for you is bigger than that. Because if man did not fall, nobody will be sick. Is someone following me this morning? See, my purpose on earth is whatever you say. It's comedy because people are depressed. Maybe people would have been depressed if there was no fall. So the question I'm asking you, let's assume there was no fall of man. What is it that God will have you do? That thing is still his plan because it doesn't change. And we are seeing it. Are you following me this morning? It's to serve him, to do ministry, to live for him. That's the assignment. So God put man in the garden to serve, to worship, to attend to. In fact, there are two other places, for instance, where that word, these two words, Abad and Shammah, were used together again. Where Abad and Shammah were used together. And I will show you so that you understand the flow. You find that in Deuteronomy 13 and verse 14. Deuteronomy 13 and verse 14. Are you there? Are you there? I left it to get everybody. Come, is that everybody? Huh? Okay, add your voice now. Let's go together. Okay, thank you for doing that. Now read it now. Now read it seriously now. Deuteronomy 13, verse 14. Is that what you read? But it's not giving me what I want. Okay? Well, we'll come to that later. Joshua, let me show you another place. Joshua 22, verse 5. Joshua 22, verse 5. Very popular, I guess. Let's go. Read together. Okay. Now, to keep his commandment, that word keep is Shammah. To serve him, that word serve is Abad. So those two words are used together in the same sentence again. But what is he talking about here still? Agriculture or ministry? Ministry. Are you following me? So I'm trying to show you that the reason God created you, the original plan has not changed. It's so that you will Abad and that you will dress and that you will serve him and attend to his instructions. So God has not changed his mind about his plan for your life. It's still about ministry. It's still about service. Are you still here? So God put man in the garden to worship. Remember that scripture yesterday? Exodus 12 verse 13. This is the whole duty of man. Serve God and keep his commandment. You still find that word in that verse. Amen. To serve the Lord. Now, what does it mean to serve the Lord? There are three major things God wants every believer to do. Three major ways God wants you to serve him. That's why we're looking at the word ministry. Ministry. You know, when people hear ministry, I don't know what you think it is. There are three major ways. The first way to serve the Lord, to be a minister of the gospel. The first way is in Acts 13 and verse 2. Bible said, and they ministered to the Lord. So, first, there is ministry to the Lord. That is ministering to the Lord. They minister to the Lord. Now, ministry to the Lord talks about your personal relationship with him. Prayer life. Worship. Where you get into your room and then that is part of ministry. Just at that time, you're not doing it towards man, you're doing it towards God. Yeah, just the loving on him. Father, we thank you. We love you. We bless your name. That's ministry to the Lord.
Are you getting the point?
He has served, he is attending to him. Like in the garden, God wanted Adam to minister to him. So every time he comes to flow with Adam, it is that Adam may speak with him. So God is actually, can I say, use the word? He wants to relate with us. And in ministering to the Lord, what are you doing? You are, you know, serving him. That's one way. The second one is ministry of reconciliation. So, that is ministry of reconciliation. This ministry of reconciliation is towards, is towards sinners. You have a ministry towards sinners to bring the gospel to them. In 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 17, he says, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. All things have passed away. Behold, all things have become new. Verse 18, all things of God, who has reconciled us to himself, has committed to us the what? Ministry of reconciliation. Verse 19, to which that God was in Christ, reconciling the world to himself, not imposing, not imputing rather, their trespasses unto them. And how did he end that verse? I had committed unto us the word of reconciliation. So, I'm trying to show you, say, what does it mean to serve God? Number one, you must have a relationship with him, your prayer life. Number two, you must have a ministry towards sinners, where you are preaching the gospel to them. Now, listen to what I'm saying actually. When I was talking about ministry, people think that jumping all over the world is ministry. If you do not preach the gospel to sinners that they may be saved, you're not doing ministry. I get what I'm saying. You're not. Because when I mention ministry to the Lord, people say, I like that one. Just to be in my room praying and saying, Hosanna. It's a full package. So first there is what you do with God. Then there is what you do with sinners. Unsaved men. So, if in the past 6 months, you've never gone for evangelism to preach to a sinner, you are not doing ministry. Evangelism and soul winning is something you cannot outgrow. Every time you think you've outgrown it, it means your fire is dying. That's what it means. And I tell our pastors this all the time. Don't just say, oh, I just sit in my office and they go and preach. You should preach, oh. Well, you meet people on the street, preach to them. You should still have a life of soul winning. That's what ministry is. That's why I said, it is not about your medicine. If you are now preaching the gospel in your hospital as a doctor, that is ministry right there. But just that you are treating people, you are not doing ministry, sir. And to prove to you again that it is not ministry, anything you can do without the power of God is not ministry. Because you can do medicine without the power of God. Just go to school and learn it. Are you following me this morning? Glory to God. So you must have that ministry of reconciliation. You must have an assignment towards unsaved men. So the question is, who have you preached the gospel to in the past 3 months? And it's so serious. Because it keeps going down in our generation. It keeps going down. How many times again do people knock on your doors these days to preach to you? It keeps going down. And we are the problem, because we are becoming too woke for ministry. Too woke. Say, can't I do it on Facebook? What happens to your leg and your mouth? Why can't you walk around? The Bible said you should go. So you step out and you move. Are you following me? I think it's Acts 20:20. Give me that verse on the screen. Acts 20 verse 20. That's how the early church did ministry. That's how they did ministry. Acts 20 and verse 20. Vision 20:20. Hallelujah. Do they have it now? Let's go together. And how I kept nothing that was profitable unto you, but I've shewed you, I have taught you publicly, and from. So Paul the apostle that we celebrate, he went house to house Our apostles today don't go house to house. They stay in stadiums. Nothing is wrong with preaching in stadiums. He said, I preached publicly. But he said, I also went from house to house. I get what I'm saying? There is need to bring back soul winning. That's how to serve God. That's how to serve God. There are pastors who don't even know how to win souls again. They don't know how to lead people to Christ again. They can only preach on the stage. But they've forgotten how to lead people to Christ. Let me ask your neighbor gently. Say, sister or brother. When last did you lead someone to Christ? Get an answer. Don't make the person escape. Get an answer. When last did you lead someone to Christ? Have you even done it before? If you've not done it, let this weekend be your time to start it. That's what it means to serve God. That's what serving God is about. And you should never be too busy for that. Anything that keeps you too busy for evangelism has made you too busy for your own good. So that is ministry unto the Lord. That is ministry of reconciliation. This kind of camp meeting is another opportunity to remind you that you need to get back to the streets. You need to get back to the field. It's one major thing that is losing. And can't you see, the devil and society are very aggressive now. People are going crazy. Ask me why. Because there are only few people, sometimes nobody at all preaching. All our sisters in the Lord want to be woke. All our brothers in the Lord want to be woke. And the vision of woke is, I can carry my Bible and walk around. That's why I told you guys here, go and buy a Bible. Did I tell you that? Buy a physical Bible and carry it. So what difference does it make? It keeps you conscious of the facts in that poala. You know what I'm saying? Carry it in your hand. Because this says we are being woke. And that's why people are not preaching the gospel anymore. Are you not aware that some of these nations that we read about in the Bible, most of them today are Islamic nations? Corinth that we are reading about is the present day Turkey. How did they go from being a very evangelized nation to becoming what it is today? Because people stopped engaging. I say, can it happen to Nigeria? Never say never. Because every time, for instance, there is a new generation that is, and I was running this recently, there's an unevangelized generation in Nigeria today. So these Gen Z people, some of them have never heard the gospel. Because some of us, when we were growing up, come on, you can't walk from LTA without somebody stopping you to say, sir, I want to preach. Did it happen to you? You can't enter a bus without somebody preaching to you. If I told you to enter a bus and fight for who will talk first. But then there is a generation that in their 14, 13, they walk around. Nobody has ever met them to say Jesus did anything to you. They don't know the gospel. Because we are not doing ministry. We have a church that is full. We are shouting and we think that those shouts translate to serving God. Let me even start by saying, if you see, serving God is not coming to church. You come to church to be equipped to serve God. Do you understand the point? As a matter of fact, coming to church is God serving you. Because like now you are here, I'm teaching you the word, I'm not getting blessed. I'm not serving God. So God is using me. In fact, some people are serving God here now. Like me now, I'm serving God here. But you are, some of you are not. Right? I get what I'm saying, because here I'm doing ministry. You are not. The choir, yes, the ushers. But you sitting down here, people think that because they go to church every Sunday morning means they're doing ministry. No, sir. Get to the streets. Let someone hear the gospel. Look at the mandate. Publicly and from house to house. Publicly and from house to house. bus to bus, junction to junction. I get what I'm talking about. Street to street. You go and you go back again. I don't know how it is in our universities these days, but I tell you, when I went to school, if you want to be able to preach in our classrooms, you have to really be early. When I went to school, you have to come out by, sometimes we run 6:45 already in class. As soon as they're coming in, you are standing on the stage waiting for them. Because if you waste time, another person will come and preach. Amen. Those days we'll be preaching. I've been walked out of, not once, not twice. Useless boy. You came to school to read and you're here preaching. So fun. So much fun. So much fun. So, hear this. On fire for God is not singing fine boy we love just and doing selfie. On fire for God is out there. Are you following me, friends? On fire for God is not doing get ready with me to church and you're snapping yourself. That's not on fire for God. On fire for God is not singing I'm a soldier. That song really makes me laugh. Now, I have not sung again song. It just makes me laugh. It's only when I see the singers, people singing it. I'm a soldier. You a soldier? And you never go for evangelism. You're not even a soldier in training. You're not even anything. You're not even man of war. You're a soldier. Let's go and preach. Have all your excuses, you know, sir. I would have been preaching. If not, that what happened? If not, that what happened? If you're a soldier in the army, there are no excuses. Some of you that are going for NYSC orientation camp in the next few days, do not come back until you have at least 5 to 10 souls won to Jesus. Stay back there. If you didn't want to do so, stay there. These are targets you set for yourself. Because for real, there are guys that come there that will tell you before the end of that week they've had 3-4 girlfriends in 3 weeks. And you can't get anybody saved. Just get carried away with noise. The good thing about this ministry of reconciliation is that you can do it anywhere. That's a good thing. Anywhere. You are in an office, there are people in that office that have never heard the gospel from you. Never. Stop assuming that people are born again. Some are not. And so you preach to them. So that's the thing. Ministry of Reconciliation. Very important too. Because if we don't bring back the soul winning thing, something is happening. You know, the problem is, and I kid you not, there are not many churches today that have weekly evangelism day for the whole church members. There are not many churches. And it's a problem. What many churches have, that's why in this church, there is nothing like evangelism team. We can have evangelism groups. There is no team that their job is to evangelize. And what do others, what should we do? We've shifted evangelism to evangelism group. But then you, if you are in this church and you are not evangelizing, that wouldn't be my problem. Because I've done my job as a pastor, not only to teach you, but to create a system where you can do it every week. That's my job. Your job is to align. Because if you're in this church, we expect you to step out at least 2 times every week to preach. The general church, whatever, on Saturday, and then 1 more day for yourself to preach. It's been like that. And if you're not doing that, it's your problem. And I'm saying so that you can take correction. Because I'm saying, I'm not talking to new converts. I'm talking to serious, in quotes, Christians, pastors, ministers, who have never preached in the past 6 months to anybody, except to give the mic to preach. And that's why you're in church dragging mic. You're hoping for them, they'll give you mic to preach. So when is my own turn? Your turn will never come. I have too much message inside me that I cannot finish it in two lifetimes. So I'll keep preaching. Go and preach. But even this thing I'm doing here does not also stop you from getting to the street. I get what I'm saying now. Go preach the gospel. So ministry of reconciliation. And then there is a third one, ministering to the saints. So you see what ministry is. That is what you do towards God. That is what you do towards sinners. That is what you do towards the saints. Any of this you are not fulfilling, you are lacking behind. Now, under ministry to the saints, that's where we have things like what I'm doing here now. I'm preaching to you. I'm ministering to you. Ushers are serving. They're serving the saints in church. Quite. That's why everybody, please see what I'm going to say. Everybody that is born again must have a relationship with God, must preach to sinners, and must have something he's doing in church to serve the saints. That's what ministry is. Under this ministry to the saints, there are now special assignments. Oh, I'm called to be an apostle. I'm called. But whether you are called to be whatever or not, you must either be an usher in the choir. If these three things are lacking in your life, you are not doing ministry. You see why I said that some of the things we say people are doing music ministry. Most of those things, not ministry, some of those things, pure business. It's pure business, some of them. Some are doing ministry. For me, now, personally, now, some of you know this. If you don't like it, it's just you, and it's okay. I don't take any music minister serious who doesn't have a church where he or she attends and is serving there. I don't take you serious. I don't. But let's not get into that. Because the origin of this music ministry thing, even in the Old Testament, is that the music people in the Old Testament were Levites. Where were the Levites serving? They were serving and singing in the church. And that's your assignment. Now, when God makes you popular and they invite you to go and sing somewhere, it's still okay. Right? But you have the question I'm asked, I asked some music guys that are traveling over the world, I said, what if for 1 month, because if you say how you serve God, I go about singing, what if for 1 month there's no invitation? So you won't serve God within that month. Have something that's doing. You know, I think it's 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15 that talks about the household of Stephanas and said they had addicted themselves. I love that verse. Look at that. 1 Corinthians 16 15. They had addicted themselves to the ministry of the saints. Do you have it? 1 Corinthians 16 verse 15. He said, I beseech you, brethren, you know the house of Stephanas, that it is the first fruit of Achaia, and that they have addicted themselves. I love this verse because it's not talking about Stephanas, it's talking about the household. What a beautiful household to have. You know the household of Stephanas, they have addicted. I can imagine that household. Father is in usher. Mother is in children team. Children, one is in the choir. The other is in media. So Paul says they have addicted themselves. They have an addiction to serving the saints. That's ministry. So before we begin to say, am I a minister? Am I not a minister? These are the three things you look for. Are you following me? Glory to God. I say glory to God. So the minister is not the person that talks in his shirt and is carrying big Bible and is saying emoji, and he's just walking around. That's not minister. The minister is a person who is doing these three things. Now, aside this now, there are other assignments that God can give you. For instance, I may get to that maybe tomorrow. There may be fivefold ministry. God called you to be a pastor. And God can give you some special abilities, some special graces that you have. It's okay. But then, it all comes under this thing. Who is the evangelist, for instance? He's the one who, apart from doing all these three things, he now has a special assignment towards the lost. Do you understand what I'm saying? He is the pastor. He's the one that, apart from doing all these things, he has a special assignment towards saints to train them, to help them grow. But remember, I said he has to be doing all these things still. Paul spoke to Timothy, who was a pastor by calling. Paul told him, do the work of an evangelist. So, Timothy, because you are a pastor, doesn't mean you should not be able to do reconciliation. Is someone getting what I'm talking about this morning?
So, you see why it doesn't make sense? Look at this. Look at this, friends. Timothy is a pastor. Hear what I'm going to say. Timothy is a pastor who has a flock. I don't want to call Timothy had flock. He was bigger than flock. But he was a big pastor. He was so big that Paul was giving him instructions in 1 Timothy 3 as to how to ordain bishops. So Timothy was even ordaining bishops. So someone that ordains bishops in our own time, what do we call the person? Archbishop, Abby. He ordained bishops. He ordained deacons. He had young people in his church. He had old people. How do you know he had old people? There was a time Paul was teaching him in 1 Timothy how to take care of widows, how to take care of people that are above 60. So those guys were in his church. Big man of God like that. For him to ordain bishops, it means he has many, many churches under his care. Yet Paul said, do the work of an evangelist. Timothy, carry your Bible and go house to house preaching. And now there is one music minister who thinks that she's popular and singing all over the world and distributes it. She can no longer go and preach. And she can no longer serve in church. If Paul is telling a person called to serve in the church to do the work of an evangelist, even if you're a music minister and you think your job is to travel all over the world, please serve in your local church. Because these three things are the basic. Whether you have calling or not. Are you following me, friends? Whether you have calling or whether you are called, whether they flash you, whichever one. These three things must be there. So when last did you win a soul? What are you doing in his house? Who are you? How are you serving the saints in the church? What are you doing? What are you doing? So that you do not deceive your... I'm saying sorry, don't think you are doing ministry when you are not. Don't think, because you are not. Don't deceive yourself. Don't think you are when you are not. Don't think you are. This dream must come in. Praise God. I say praise God. You know, I was announcing this. I said, I'm going to announce this more on Sunday. From this, immediately after this particular meeting now, I'm going on a very serious, you know, we're getting on a very serious walk. There are three campuses in this state now that God has spoken to me about. And I'm going to be there training and mentoring at least 100 young people for 6 months. I'll be there every week. Sometimes we're going to go out and preach together. Why the Lord said, get back to the fields. Go do new works. Raise new people. Get them born again. That must be the DNA of any minister. I get what I'm talking about. It must be your DNA. That no matter how big you get, you can still get into the streets. You can still serve. I grew up serving in the church. To the glory of God. And I say it all the time. There's actually no department. Except that, of course, there are new departments that come out every day. But that's not the department that I did when I was growing up that I didn't serve in church. No department. And some of you can actually say the same. Some of you can. Glory to God. I look at some of you that served in the choir, and I want to took you there. But it was necessary at the time. I've done backup before. Forget my voice. Not once, not twice. Being in the band. Because it was necessary at the time. That's serving the Lord. I've played drums. I've done decoration. Even in this church. In this church. The time I used to be in church, if the service is 8 o'clock, I'll be there. Not in Enugu Center Shop. As early as before 8. I'll come. If I'm wearing tie or anything, just shift it. Hang clothes. After we hang it and all of that. By the time you're coming, you see me on tie on my shoe. And I tell you, if I say I can still do it, it will not look like it's even a big deal. It's not even a big deal. It's not even a big deal for me. Serve the Lord. You come to church these days, the person playing drums is one jobless boy. The person on the keyboard, another jobless boy. The person on the guitar. And you know why we say that? Why it happens in many churches? Because once they begin to get money and become rich, they can no longer, you know, all these things. Cleaning church. Let me say this to you. I'll get to you today. Listen. I don't know why. I wanted to say it later, but let me just talk about it now. What gives a job value is who you are serving. I say it all the time. Let me say it again. Listen. How many of you here, ladies, praise God. Sisters, praise God though. How many of you, your dream is to marry a driver? A driver. That's your prayer. Anybody? But some of your fathers are drivers. You don't want to marry a driver? You're going higher. What if that driver now is the personal driver of the governor or the president or personal driver of Donald Trump? Will you consider it? Will you pray about it? You want to marry a cook? You might not want to. But then you might just, if you say, the president hired him to be cooking. Let me tell you what it means to be personal driver of the president, if you don't know. The personal driver of the president can give you a job in any company in this world. Because he sees the president every day. Every morning. Don't play with those people. Though. See driver, you see secretary. A secretary can make, the secretary to governor can make sure you are jobless all your life. One, your letter will pass through him. He will pocket it. So you see how jobs begin to change in value because of who we are working for. You want to marry a cleaner. Okay, scratch that. You want to marry a maid. A maid. A guy that is in maid, that's his job. Sisters? But would you like to marry the chief of staff to the president? That's the official word for maid. Now, they're very wealthy guys. But then, you know what I mean by that? He's running up and down, saying, is there food in this kitchen? Is that it? The only difference is, who are we serving? That's why you must carry service on your head. You might not want to be a cleaner. But if you are cleaning the house of God, that's an honor. You might not want to be a musician. But if you are going to play the instrument for God, that's an honor. And that's how you carry ministry. Now, if they are doing the... I don't like decoration. If you ever ask me to come and decorate, they are doing wedding, you never see me there. With whatever money you have. But to decorate this place, for the work of God, I'll be here 10 times. So people still wonder why, if I said on Wednesday, I was here. And I'm not here because sometimes I don't come around because I'm a pastor. Because it's about pastoring. Without me being here, I can give instructions and things will happen. But I want to always remind myself, it is your obligation to be around to serve the saints in whatever capacity you should. That's what ministry is. Amen. That's the assignment. Are you still here? And if you make yourself available, God will use you. At least in these ways. At least. Without another thing, at least these ways. And I want to show you something. God has actually equipped you. Two things I want to say. God has equipped you for ministry. And God is still equipping you for ministry. Well, many people talk about ministry, they feel they can't do it. They have their reasons. Some people feel they're not qualified. Now, let me address that sister or that brother who doesn't see himself as too qualified for the work of God. There are a few things that God has put inside of you to let you know that he has prepared you, that you can do it. Let me tell you the first one, the Holy Spirit. When God gave you his spirit, he has made you able. How many of you here are born again? Raise your hand if you are born again. Now, if you are born again, it means you have the Holy Spirit. You shall receive power, Acts 1 verse 8, after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be my witness. In other words, the Holy Ghost will make you able to be a witness. And it means that if you have the Holy Ghost, you cannot say, I cannot preach. You can't say that.
You cannot say that. I'm not talking about speaking in tongues. Even if you don't speak in tongues, but you are born again. How long do you have the Holy Ghost whether you speak in tongues or not? Now, should you speak in tongues? Yes, too. And if you don't pray in tongues, don't worry, I'm coming for you. You will pray in tongues. It's very easy. But then whether you pray in tongues or not, the day you receive Jesus into your heart, the Holy Ghost also came into you. In fact, that's actually the Jesus you received. That's what transformed you. I don't have time for that teaching this morning. So that Holy Ghost inside of you is a way of God equipping you. You shall receive power after the Holy Ghost come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses. So there is no reason why a believer should say, I don't know how to preach. I cannot get anybody saved. I don't know how to serve in church. Are you not full of the Holy Ghost? When he gave you his spirit, it's not just to excite you or to make you speak in tongues. It is so that you can use him for service. So on that is how my voice this morning, you are equipped. 1 Corinthians 12 verse 7 says, the manifestation of the Spirit is given to everyone to profit without. What it means is that God has given everyone his Spirit so that the person can profit the body of Christ. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Come on, come on. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Say, I have the Holy Ghost. Say, the Spirit of God lives in me. Say, the Spirit of God lives in me. I have the Holy Ghost. I have the Holy Ghost. Preach that to 3%. Tell them I have the Holy Ghost. Glory to God. That Holy Ghost you have is the equipping you need for ministry. Oh, I love the anointing of the Holy Ghost. You know, many years ago, I said this all the time. I put it on my Facebook wall. I said, send me to any village without money, without food, just me and my Bible. I'll come back with results. Many years ago, as someone commented and said, time will tell. When I'll tell you what time has told. So I came in here without anything. I came to Enugu without anything. All I had was the anointing. So the Holy Ghost is enough. Oh, I should say it again. I said the Holy Ghost is enough. The Holy Ghost is enough. So I don't know how to preach. The Holy Ghost is enough. So all these ushering of the game, I don't know how to do. The Holy Ghost is enough. He is the Spirit that equips us for ministry. He is the Spirit that makes us fit. That's why I'm actually not afraid of any assignment given to me at any time. And I tell it to some of you. Listen, sit please. Don't reject or turn down ministry assignments. Don't do that. Do you know what I said? Don't do that. You are now the one in charge of this cell. Don't ever say no. Don't ever say, I don't know what to do. If God will give you his spirit, and he has, it means you are equipped for it. The only reason you should turn down ministry assignments, right, is, well, let me just say that for a reason. Because I know this is a mixed audience. If you have another thing elsewhere, but then I'm thinking, if you actually submitted to your local church, don't turn down any assignment come from your church. There are things you turn down, okay, but not from your church. That's the reason I'm saying that. When I was in school, the glory of God used us mightily in school. So when a few ministries and ministers from all over the world began to hear some of these things that we were doing, I didn't even know how they got to know. At least two ministries came. One somewhere in Nigeria. The other person, they even came. I think I came back with a book then. It was a West African spread ministry. And they came to me and they said, we want to come into Enugu. Come and do some meetings. And we'll have the funds and all of that. You have the voice, you know, some of this. Because I was still JCP president then. The students respond to you. So they just passed through. I said, well, if you want me to help you organize your meeting, I will. But to take up this assignment, God has not asked me to. That's a different case. I get what I'm saying. But if God has sent you to serve one day, man, don't turn down ministry responsibilities. Don't do that. Holy Ghost is equipping. Now, so that some of you I look at here, when I gave you to do some things, you never believed you could do it. But look how well you are doing now. And even if you are not doing so well, God is still working on you. The Holy Ghost is the equipping for ministry. You want to go on missions, the Holy Ghost is enough. Ask Mark 16 verse 15. He said, go into all the world and preach the gospel. Verse 17, these signs that follow them that believe. In my name, glory to God, they shall cast out devils. In my name, they shall speak in new tongues. In my name, they shall drink that it shall not hurt them. They shall lay hands on the sick. That's the equipping that you need. So stop writing yourself off. You have the Holy Ghost inside of you. I carry the Holy Ghost. And that's the equipping we need. Oh, that's why I'm not afraid. They want to send you to social committee to come preach. It's not, no matter how tough, let them have the idol worship. I will be there. The Holy Ghost is enough. And that's confident. All I want to know is that He's sending. I'll be there. Don't turn down opportunities for ministry. The Holy Ghost is the equipping that you need. He has made us able ministers. Are you still here? So the first sign that God has equipped you is that He gave you the Holy Spirit. The second sign that God has equipped you for ministry is that there are, hear this, please don't miss it. There are natural abilities that He has put inside of you. Now, I've been saying from yesterday, your talent is not your calling. Music is not your calling. That you can add drama is not calling. That you can cook is not your calling. But listen to what I'm going to say. These natural abilities are there. God put them there because somehow in the course of fulfilling your ministry, you will need them. Now, listen to that. There is no one that doesn't have some natural thing that he came up, that he grew up with. Some of you can sing. With or without born again, you can sing, not you. Amen. Now, it doesn't mean that music is now your calling. But God put that music in there because somewhere, as you are fulfilling your assignment of maybe ministering to the saints or something, you will need that voice to sing. That natural ability is a proof to you that God has prepared you. And somebody is saying, if you go by this, I don't have a natural anything. It's not true. There are things you can do. Some of you can talk. Now, it doesn't mean that you are now called to be a pastor. But it means that in the course of filling assignment, you are going to need that voice. I kind of believe that the natural talents we are born with, to an extent, they are a proof to us that God has His hand upon our lives way before we were created. Oh, I get what I'm talking about. It's a proof. There are natural things that you have. You know what I found out? In my note, I said, your natural abilities, they are not your calling. But they will come in handy ministry. Because look at what I found out. Every natural ability that you have can be used for the ministry in one way or the other. I said every. Even skills that you have. You know, there are many graces one of you have. Some of you can play the keyboard. You think you can play keyboard because you learned it. Well, that is true. But let me tell you, the ability to learn keyboard sometimes is a natural ability that God gives. But there are people that can begin to learn that keyboard. And they will never learn it. How long? Okay, let me not embarrass you. But I don't know if I've attempted to learn keyboard. But that is just this one sister, one brother, that it comes in very easy. Sometimes, I know someone that started playing keyboard, started by looking at what people play. If you are playing, just watching what you are playing. Where you are going, you start doing the same thing. That is not normal. Because I tell you, if you watch from now till tomorrow. It's a natural ability that we all have. Now, while we cannot create a keyboard ministry, because there's nothing like that. Are you following me? You can't create a cook. Those people can cook.
hand. Is cooking now a ministry?
No. But can it come in handy ministry? A lot. Let me give you some examples. In Exodus 31, verse 3, we read about two guys, Bezalel and Aholiab. These two guys, we are... Go back to verse 2, so I'll show you. See, I've called by my name, Bezalel, the son of Uri, the son of Hur, of the tribe of Judah. Verse 3. He said, I've filled him with the Spirit of God, the wisdom and understanding, and the knowledge and all manner of workmanship. Verse 4. What are they trying to do? They were trying to build. He was able to devise cunning work, to work in gold and in silver. This guy had this as a skill. But now they want to build the house of God. That is skill is now coming in handy. God now said, I've filled him with the Spirit, even though it's a skill that he has. But because he now wants to use it for ministry, I'll fill him to be able to use it well. Now, can we say there is a ministry of building? Is there anything like that? No. But is this guy using his building knowledge to serve the Lord now? Yes. Are you following me, everybody? I'll show you some of the examples. Of course, there's this building in Nehemiah. God, the book of Nehemiah, Nehemiah 3, Nehemiah 4, Nehemiah 5. Those guys, we are building the house of the Lord. And it was ministry unto the Lord. They were steps that were building the temple. Now, are we going to say that they are now called to be builders? Nobody is called to be a builder. But you see, the knowledge of building is now playing a role. That's why I said, your natural abilities can come in handy in the ministry. And so when you look at yourself and some of these natural things that you can do, God is saying, you see these things? You can use it to serve me. So don't ever say you can't. There are people here that can act. There is no calling in the Bible called acting ministry. But we can now want to go for publicity. I want to do a skit to invite people for program. And we video you, you act. And people see that and they come for the meeting. Are you what I'm talking about? You've used that to do ministry. So I'm actually trying to show you that there is nobody that is not fit for ministry. Do you hear what I said now? There is nobody that is not fit for ministry. We know about Dorcas, right? Acts chapter 9. What was her own stuff? She was a tailor. Acts 9:39. Is there a calling like tailoring ministry? Is that tailoring ministry? Fashion designing ministry. You know, let me tell you. I'm just trying to show you. Don't invent what does not exist. But Dorcas, look at what she did with her own. Peter arose and went with them. When he was come, they brought him into the upper chamber because Dorcas died. And all the widows stood by him weeping, shewing coats and garments Dorcas made. So Dorcas used her knowledge of sewing and she was supplying many saints in church who had need. She was giving, serving the Lord. She would sew clothes, meet widows, give them. So she has used a natural ability that she has to do something for the Lord. Is someone following me this morning? So one sign that God has equipped you is that he gave you some natural stuff to be able to do. Some of you can sing. Some of you can organize. And some of you that grew up organizing. That's I'm sitting grace right there. I want it to come in handy. There are people that if they hold your money, it will not lose. Now, there are other people that if they hold your money, it has lost. Amen. Someone can just drive naturally. And tomorrow, we need somebody that we have a new bus now. People that will be driving people for program back and forth. That's serving the Lord. Remember, where does it fall under? The third one, right? Serving the saints. So, the fact that there are certain things that you can do well, it's a proof again and again that God's hand is upon your life and that he has equipped you to serve him. So never say, I can't. Never say there is no place for me in ministry. Never say, oh, this ministry, I don't know how to do it. You can. Because God can take hold of those natural things that you can do. And it becomes handy in the work of God. There are people that can lead. So if you have that leading thing. Now I'm talking about being a politician. But there are people that once they come, you notice when they come into a group of three or four friends, suddenly people want to listen to them. Oh, it's okay. Amen. People want to hear them. So somehow they say, I'm going to church. Everybody will say, okay, we are going to church too with you. I wonder how. Now, it doesn't mean you now have a ministry of leadership. I get what I'm talking about. It simply means that sometime, somewhere, God is going to need that thing. It might be to lead a cell. It might be to lead a group. It might be that, okay, there's an evangelism team that wants to go there. So there is no one here in this place that will say, I cannot do ministry. If you look at your life critically, there is something God has put into your hands that you can serve him with. So you're equipped for ministry. There are other equipments that God will give you. But I'm saying, basically, God's time is upon your life. Amen. For instance, comedy. Do I believe that a comedian should, for any reason, be on the stage cracking joke in church? I do not believe. I will never agree. This is the holy house of God. It's not a place for comedians. So, what of pastors that invite comedians to their stage? I don't know about them. I'm just saying what I've seen in God's word. There's nothing like that. The thing is that Charles Spurgeon warned about this many years ago. He said that a time is going to come that the pulpit will be full of jesters. And that's what we have now. Jesting on stage. We invite, and the problem is that the church pays those people heavily to come and make us laugh. The thing about comedy is actually funny to me. It's funny. Not the joke. The idea. Because I'm not someone that you can easily make to laugh. If I decide not to laugh, it will take 1 out of 2 million. Okay, 1 out of 300 comedians can make me laugh at least once in 6 months. It's difficult. If I'm watching you. For instance, if I'm passing through a lot, you can't make me laugh. If I'm passing through a lot, now, I can be impressed by your concept. Say, he did well. But is there anything like comedy that a comedian so really want? Now, should they do it in church? No. But can it come in handy somewhere? Yes, so. It's the same thing we can do. I've mentioned things like publicity. Do you understand? Now, can you do comedy as a career? Yes. But is it ministry? No. But can it come in handy as your career out your ministry? Yes. I get what I'm talking about, friends. So, those natural abilities upon your life, they are a proof again that God's hand is upon you and that you can actually do ministry. I'll show you another way God has equipped you, for instance. And this is very important. Your past experiences. This is very serious. Your past experiences are another way that God has prepared you to serve him. This will shock many of you. God does not cause your experiences. For instance, if you lost someone, it's not God that killed your neighbor or your brother. If you failed an exam, it's not God that made you fail the exam. There are a few things that can cause experiences. One of them is you. Maybe you didn't read. Do you understand what I'm saying? Another thing can be the devil. Another thing can be other people. You know, other people can orchestrate rubbish in your life and it will work. So God doesn't cause bad experiences. Even the good ones that he causes, you still have to cooperate with him for it to happen. So you can't totally blame God for what you are passing, for your experiences. But hear what I'm going to say. God does not cause experiences. But, you know, we can actually, those experiences, if we utilize them well, can come in handy in serving the Lord. Please don't hear what I didn't say. You are not called to preach your experience. But there are people that are getting it wrong. All over the place preaching, maybe they had a terrible divorce, or they just come and say, I want to share my story, and people start crying. That's not preaching. You are called to preach the Bible. You know what I'm saying? You are not called to preach the tough things that have happened to you in life. Any preaching that is 70% or 8% stories, something is wrong with it. You preach the Bible. So I'm not talking about preaching experience, but you see, all your experiences, if well utilized, will come in handy in your service of God. Again, this is why your experiences must be handled well. I give some examples. Your background. You might come from a terrible background where there is this and that. You see that your background, instead of complaining about it, that's your background. When you start serving the Lord well, it might come in very handy, even in the kind of people that God will send you to. I get what I'm saying. Someone that grew up maybe in a witchcraft infested environment and grew up there, and because a minister, there are chances God will send him back to that place. To start with, without the power of God, he's not even afraid. Like, he knows them too much. Are you know what I'm talking about? Someone else grew up in cultism. Then he gets born again. God can send him to those cultists. Tell who goes you to. He knows what you know. God can send you back to those places. So those your backgrounds. God did not cause it. God is not making it hard for you. But you see, those backgrounds will come in handy somehow. Sometimes the experience and the knowledge we get from there will play a major role. One of the things the Lord used me to do when I was in school was, there was a time I began to do a campaign in ASUT then against cultism. I went to different departments, you know, all these departmental orientation and all of that. I went there to speak. And somehow why God was able to tell me to do that was because I had, you know, I've told you my little experience with cultism before I got born again. So I knew many things. I get what I'm saying. So all those experiences, all those, your background now is something. Even some of your educational experiences are coming handy. Your ministry experiences. And I won't talk about this one. Some of you, the bad things, the hurtful things that happen to you, some of them are ways that God is using to prepare you. Now, I'm not saying that God made those bad things happen, but I'm saying that if you will use them well, they will come in handy in your ministry somehow. They will. There are people that can easily encourage because they instead of being through things. You now find, that's why, don't waste your experiences. When something bad happens to you, heal properly and learn from it. If you heal and learn from the experience, that experience will come in handy in your carrying out of your carrying out ministry. So, someone was, what's the best that can happen to someone now? He lost people. He prayed and prayed, but then people died. Someone died. Now, he should cry and all of that, but he should heal totally. But if he goes around sulking, blaming God, if God is healed, why do my people die? You see, the devil is winning. God did not cause the death of your people, but God can turn it to something good. So tomorrow, you just have this special ability to encourage people, because not only have you seen from God's word, you've been there. So even the natural things in our lives are pointers to the fact that God actually is equipping us for ministry. I don't know why what happened to you happened. But I'm going to say, you heal from it and be very fine. Because when you are done, God will begin to use that experience. Give me 2 Corinthians 1 verse 4. 2 Corinthians 1 and verse 4. Glory to God. Oh, hallelujah. He said, who comforted us in all our tribulation, that we may be able to comfort them which are in trouble. He said, God comforts us, that we may be able to comfort others. Give me NLT. NLT. Oh, glory to God. He comforts us in all our troubles so that we can comfort others. He said, when they are troubled, we'll be able to give them the same comfort God has given us. So there are some things that you pass through. Allow God to work in you. When He's done, there are chances that He's sending you back to those people. So the same thing He has done in your life, you can begin to do it for others. So instead of complaining that you lost your job, instead of complaining that things didn't work well, instead of complaining that people hurt you, instead of complaining that people raped you, instead of complaining that your marriage failed, instead of all of those things, let God finish His work. Because those experiences will now come in handy. He will begin to use you mightily. So when you are talking, both by utterance and by experience, you know the right things to say. But what do we do in church? We waste our experiences. We sulk, we cry, we complain, we blame God, we blame man, we blame pastor, we blame church, we stop going to church. There are many people I've been able to help here because of the few things that have happened in my life. The few things. I'm wise, so I think I am. I was counseling the pastor, a son of mine, that is here, recently about his marriage. And I told him, when you're about to get married, look at what will happen in your church. This, and that. Why did I know that I've been there? I said, look at what you can do. Now, it's not time to begin to complain. Because if you don't get the lesson, when God brings that situation for you to be of help, you won't be able to. So there are people, because you are a Kambiaga. You are hurting from a relationship. And every time you find out, there are people who have the same issues are coming around you. But because you've not healed, you are destroying people you should build up. You are telling them, don't mind men, no. Men, men. Avoid men, no. They will drag you to the mud. That's not why God sent you. Send those people to you. He wants to finish work your life. So when they come, you tell them, I've been through this, but hey, I'm fine. Look at the life of Joyce Meyer. After one failed marriage, is that, I think one or two, one failed marriage, yes, with kids of abuse. I even had one of the cases, the father was involved in the abuse. That's the one that would have said, I'm not serving God again. But today, look at that ministry. Look at the number of women. What do you think all of them are coming there to look for? That peace that comes from her. How does she know that peace? She has been through this stuff. God said, I should say to you, don't waste your experience. And stop complaining. Stop whining. I finished school. It's been 3 years, 3 months. I've not gotten a job. Oh, God. 3 months now, no job. Where is the job? You know the point is, when you are past Kekebelatoya, the Bible says, let patience complete our work. When you are passing through stuffs, thank you, Father. You don't have a job. What God wants to do is not just, people say, there's light at the end of the tunnel. It's not just to show you that light at the end of the tunnel. It's that in the process, it's working out some things in your heart and in your life. So that when the job finally shows up, it's not only the job that you have. Many things have worked in your life. So when you now find people who don't have job, you can be of help to them. Not only by telling them that me, I got a job too. You can pass them through the same process because you've been there. So what happens is we whine and complain through the whole process. And eventually the job came and we are thanking God. We miss the true lesson. It's not just about getting a job. He is comforting you so that you can comfort others. So I can give them the same comfort that He gave you. Are you following me, friends? So don't waste your experience. I don't know why you don't have a child yet. But you are going to have a child. Eventually. What do you have a child for? Nobody in Christ can die barren. So keep that one out. Except you choose to. You're going to have a child, but while in the process of waiting for your child, learn what God is showing you. There are some that will go on to write books about waiting mothers, and those books will go around the world to change people's life because they have waited. They know how to. But you, when your own time comes, you are complaining. Life is just terrible. Life is a pot of beans, a pot of ever. I'm going to kill myself. I'm going to hang. You know what is happening? You are actually missing out on what God wants to show you. I've been through hell and I'm back. So any day I see someone in hell, I know how to come bring the person out. I'm familiar with the environment. I'm telling you. That's why one day my dad was teaching us, my spiritual father, he told us, he said,